It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. We are going to spend the next half hour together talking about sleep. Is it as important as people say? How does it affect your brain? What happens when you don't get enough? Is there more to it than just feeling tired? Insomnia is more common for seniors, partly because of health issues, partly because of the anxiety and concerns of aging, and sometimes because of medication. So I'm very fortunate today to have Elizabeth Dragazzi, who is a pharmacist and a pharmacotherapist, with me today. She owns Dragazzi & Company. Thank you, Elizabeth, so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been on the show before. It was a great time. I wanted to have you back to discuss sleep. But first, what is a pharmacotherapist? What does that mean?
That means it's a pharmacist who has a certain number of years of experience in clinical practice and goes through intense study to study the complexities of medications, especially where there's more than one disease going on, because you can be treating for one disease, but the drug will undermine the treatment goals of another disease. So I'm good at trading out a sister drug for something that would be at risk of doing this.
So everything, the body and all the men, start working together instead of at odds with each other. Oh, yep. That's awesome. So we're talking about sleep. And after the show last time that we did, we sort of got into why sleep is important. So let's talk about seniors and sleep. I hear a myth repeatedly that seniors need less sleep. Is that a myth or is that true?
That's a myth. We all need a certain amount of sleep. In fact, the minimum that is recommended is four uninterrupted hours of sleep. And the reason why that myth got going is because after age 50, folks produce less of a hormone called melatonin. Now, a lot of people think that that's produced in the brain. Yes, about 10% of that is produced in the brain. It's linked to our eyesight so that we know when the sun is going up and down. And there's a little bit that's produced in the brain, but most of it is produced in the stomach. And with age, that amount that's produced in the stomach really goes down so that you are actually unable to sleep or have difficulty falling asleep.
So that's one of the reasons that seniors, people over the age 50, have struggle more with sleeping.
Yes.
And so the melatonin. But we do produce that ourselves. But if it goes down, how do you get more melatonin? And what does it actually do for you? Does it regulate your sleep patterns or does it do other things as well?
Oh, it does. It does some marvelous
so
things.
So many things.
Yes. It actually protects people from cancer. Breast cancer in particular, they're finding that most of the women who live in cities where there's a lot of blue light floating around are having a higher rate of breast cancer because their melatonin levels are being suppressed. So this is one of the effects that melatonin has. It does allow us to sleep, which dispels a lot of our worries, anxieties. It gives us the rest that we need in order to repair ourselves while we're sleeping.
Because that's part of the biggest piece of sleeping. And I read in Consumer Reports that, I think it was Consumer Reports, that when you sleep, that's the brain's way of clearing out the lymphatic system that's in your brain, and that's the only way you can do it.
Yes, and in fact, you'll notice that if you don't get a good night's sleep, you can't remember quite as well the next day. That's another effect of a good sleep. It improves memory, your blood pressure control is improved, your mood is improved. And for people who are trying, in my particular area of practice, where I'm helping people to wean down or off narcotics and opiates, getting a good night's sleep actually helps them to cut down on their dosing.
When you say 4 hours of uninterrupted, you're not advocating that people just get 4 hours of sleep.
No.
But it really needs to be, don't go to the bathroom, don't let the cat wake you up.
Yes.
Don't, that type of.
Yes. And and that's why it's not a good idea to have pets in with you, sleeping in the same room, is because they have a tendency to interrupt your sleep.
They do. And I was always an advocate for the pets on the bed and the cats on the bed, and until I got my kitten Elliot, and I finally, for the first time in my entire life, had to not let them in because it was hourly on the head. Mama. And so you realize that you can't function anymore. You get to the point where you're so sleep deprived that you don't even feel human.
Yes.
So those uninterrupted hours are key. But four uninterrupted hours. And how do you do that, though, if you're struggling with insomnia or restless leg syndrome or things like that? How can you ensure that you would get 4 hours?
Well, I just read from Harvard Health. They sent their newsletter across my queue. And folks who read a book or read a printed page will sleep an hour earlier, go into that uninterrupted sleep an hour earlier than if you read from a device or a telephone. So if I was giving advice, put those devices away. They are a source of blue light, which also suppress melatonin in your body. So get a good old-fashioned classic book, or if you are into Bible reading, read your Bible at night, or if you want to read a book of poems or something highly creative that transports you somewhere happy, that's a really good use of time.
So cell phones and e-readers and tablets, that all has, you probably can't see it, but that light is a blue,
yes,
like a blue light.
Yes. And if you have to have a night light, don't have a blue color. Try to keep the night light in the red tones rather than the blue, towards the blue tones. No greens or blues or purples.
I can't think of the number of people who would use their e-readers at night to read their book and then they don't sleep. What about television?
Same thing, because we have lead. Most of our televisions are lead.
Oh, right. So they've got that blue light coming through.
There is a night setting on most of our modern TVs that you can dim down the brightness of it for if you're looking at it later at night. And in a lot of hospitals, they put those dimmers on.
Fascinating. I'll have to check into that. So the melatonin, if you increase your melatonin, then the likelihood that you're going to get better sleep is pretty high.
Yes.
So how do you do that? Can you do it naturally or do you take supplements?
You can do it both ways. If you're diabetic and you have an issue with having nighttime snacks or having to not wanting to have a calorie load at the end of the night just before you go to bed, you can take the supplement. And if you want to save money, you can just wet your tablet and dip it in unsweetened cocoa. I think there are various brands, Ghirardelli, Fry's, I think there's a Dutch cocoa.
A kind of baking cocoa
And dip your wetted tablet in that and take it and you'll get twice the effect.
Now that's fascinating to me. So that the chemical compound of the melatonin and the unsweetened cocoa powder combine and increase the strength of the melatonin.
That's right, because you wouldn't expect that because cocoa is a stimulant normally.
Because of the caffeine, right?
That's right. That's right. But just because of the chemistry of the two compounds working together, you get twice the blood level of melatonin from doing that.
Are there any dangers to taking melatonin? Is it something you need to talk to your doctor about, or can you just go to the pharmacy and pick up a bottle of it? What kind of dosing are we looking at?
It is, for adults, it is perfectly safe. It is safe to take if you're on a CPAP machine. For people who have sleep apnea, it does not depress the respiratory center. That is, it doesn't cut down on your quality of breathing. That's probably because it is the natural compound that our bodies are familiar with in earlier life. The dose is usually 3 milligrams at night as a start. Some really older people may benefit from starting with the 1.5, taking the half a tablet. But by and large, you can take 3 milligrams, and the dosage range is as high as 12 milligrams. And if above that, you're probably throwing unnecessary money at it. But once again, if you want to increase the blood level of that, dip it in the cocoa, unsweetened cocoa powder, and you'll get yet another boost from it.
And it's not that expensive. It's not like highly brand name sleep aids.
No, and some people do complain that they get morning fog from taking maybe the higher doses, but the way to break that morning fog is to confront yourself with bright light in the morning, either open up those curtains or have a bright bedside lamp with a LED light with blue light. And again, that will that'll click in, that'll give you a signal to your brain that the day has begun, and a lot of that morning fog will disappear.
So blue light can keep you awake. So yes. When should you shut that down at night?
Probably between 9 and 10. If you're someone who goes to bed at 11 to midnight, at least 1 hour before.
So if you're watching TV right up until bed, check for those settings that decrease the blue light.
Yes, 9 o'clock is a good time to put those settings on.
When we come back, we will talk more about sleep, what it can do for you, what it can do to you if you don't get enough of it. So there's lots more to come. Stay with us. We're back with Senior Talk discussing melatonin. So you get a melatonin pill, very cheap, at the local supermarket or Walmart or wherever. Dip it in unsweetened cocoa, the baking chocolate that's so bitter that we all tasted as a child and were horrified. And that increases the effect. But you also spoke during the break about fruit.
Yes. If the highest sources of melatonin, if you want to have those for dessert or a later snack, is pineapple, banana, and orange. Those are your highest sources. And if you want something also good for supper as a first course, chicken breast has a good amount of melatonin in. If you want to increase the effect, you dip a banana in the chocolate, the unsweetened cocoa, to increase the melatonin effect from that. And you should have a fairly good sleep off that.
And banana is just an all-around good food because the potassium levels.
And magnesium.
And magnesium are very good. Yep. So if you had a banana at night sprinkled with cocoa powder, you'll be doing a lot of good things for yourself.
Absolutely.
The other thing that you had talked about before the show was blood pressure medications. A lot of seniors are on blood pressure medications, and the timing of taking those can play a role in sleeping.
Yes. Most of us who take blood pressure medication take it in the morning. They take everything in the morning. And some people have twice a day. That's good. But the reason for that is when you end up in hospital, they have a standard timing schedule that if it's once a day, it's at 8 o'clock. If it's twice a day, it's 8 and 8. And if it's 3 times a day, 8, 2, and 8. Well, for blood pressure medications, that doesn't work so well for most of them because, yes, the water pill, the one that makes you pee, is best taken in the morning. Most, hands down, that's clearly understood. But all of the others should really be taken at nighttime because not only does it nicely lower your blood pressure so that it's easier to sleep, but during the night, if your blood pressure doesn't go below a certain level, the kidneys produce a hormone called renin. And this renin cranks up your blood pressure the next day. And it's actually very difficult for your medicines to counter this effect. So not only do you get a good night's sleep from timing those medications at night, but you also get a better effect from your blood pressure medications so that very often you're not, it's not necessary to add another one on. In my experience, I've found it makes a 10-point reduction so that if you were, say, at 140 over 90, it goes down to 130 over 80. So that's a good jump down. And most everyone that I've recommended that intervention to has really benefited from it. They say, yes, I got off to sleep much better, and I took my melatonin, and I slept right through.
That's an amazing amount of change. 10 points is huge.
It is.
So you just talk to your doctor before you start playing
with
your meds, obviously.
Absolutely. When you are ready to make the change, talk to your doctor about, number one, which one needs to be taken in the morning, absolutely has to be taken in the morning, and then talk about the ones that are taken at night. Typically, he or she will ask you to wait for a really calm, relaxed day where you can wait an extra 12 hours to take your medication, and then at night take it, and boy, you will sleep real well.
during this sleep, this is a naturally induced sleep. So we're not talking about a sleep aid that would make you that groggy, because if someone has a problem with frequent urination, we don't want them stumbling around trying to get to the bathroom.
Yes. And there are some medicines that will make you, blood pressure medications that will make you dizzy. And you need to have a conversation with the doctor. In fact, I was talking to someone who was exactly in that situation. And they arranged to get a condom catheter so that they wouldn't have to get up out of bed to go to the bathroom, because they were taking that blood pressure medication at night that made them dizzy, and they had Parkinson's disease.
So all in all, the sleep, though, is the key. And if you're having trouble sleeping and you mention these to your doctor, that's probably something the provider should know, is that you're having trouble sleeping.
Absolutely.
But before you take a sleep aid, try all of these things first.
Yes.
Even the melatonin. And
even the melatonin, yeah.
Melatonin, bananas in the chocolate.
Yes.
So when we talk about sleep, let's talk about sleep's relationship to pain.
Yes. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you will feel your pain more the next day. The relationship is very clear. And not only that, but you will be prone to be more anxious the next day. And anxiety makes you feel your pain more. So there is, I would say, in the group of people that I worked with, when I asked them what made the most difference in being able to reduce their pain medicine dosing, they said it was sleep, getting a good night's sleep. We underestimated that.
What does sleep actually do to your brain while you're sleeping? Why is it so powerful for the rest of your body?
Well, when you sleep, everything slows down. The rate of how you make energy for yourself, everything, all your processes slow down so that you're able to, even when it comes to being aware of pain, if you're sleeping properly and you block out even the presence of feeling pain during the night, having that break sets you up for putting your best feet forward the next day. You just, we're like our heart. Actually, we're designed a lot like our heart. It pumps nonstop for the whole duration of our life. And you say, gee, how does that heart not get tired earlier? It's mind-blowing when you think about it. But what the heart functions the way it does and as efficiently as it does because it works and then it rests. It works and rests and works and rests. And that's on the much larger scale. If we work and rest and work and rest in a rhythm, then we will operate much more efficiently.
So the sleeping is really like battery recharging, literally battery recharging.
Yes. There are so many things that are quietly going on in the dark. And it's growth and repair. And that's why babies sleep so much, is because they are growing.
When we come back, we will talk more about what sleep can do for you. If you'd like to hear this show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form. Stay with us. More to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, discussing sleep quality and the importance of sleep. So we know its effect on blood pressure and pain. What about weight?
When you run inefficiently, and actually when you don't get a good night's sleep, the next day you are running inefficiently. And that means that you will use your sugars and energy in an inefficient way, and it goes in the direction of putting on weight. This is a very simple way of putting it, but that is the end result of being inefficient.
Is it because your body needs to work at a certain capacity, and if it can't get what it needs from sleeping, it's going to find a way, either nutritionally, or you just don't have the willpower to turn down that donut because you're so tired?
Well, actually, you tend to crave sugar because it's a quick fix. And going very heavily in that direction puts the pounds on quickly. And even handling the sugar is inefficiently done. So again, it will go towards putting on fat to store for when you are tired again, and your body is really going into a stress reaction as a reaction to your lack of sleep the night before. And it's very inefficient. It goes into the fight and fright side of your metabolism, and that just predisposes to putting on weight and storing for the next crisis.
And cholesterol management, sleep is good for that.
Yes, it is. And again, when you do run inefficiently and you're everything is unhappy, including your gut. And in your gut, that is where your immune function is, really lives in your body. And if it's unhappy, it'll produce what they call inflammatory factors. And these inflammatory factors increase your cholesterol that as an end product. There are a lot of things that go on in between. And again, that's another reason why you tend to put on weight when you're tired, is because these inflammatory factors will make pain and stress, and when you're under stress and pain, you tend to put on the pounds rather than keep lean and trim.
Well, especially if you're a stress eater, you're looking for that fix to make you feel better, and
yes.
Those comfort foods really facilitate that feeling of goodness until they don't, and you get the side effects of gaining weight or maybe higher cholesterol.
Yes.
When it really all could have been avoided maybe if you just got a good night's sleep.
That's right.
So discussing this first, your keys would be discussing it with a doctor first.
Yes.
Do you recommend doing a brown bag at a doctor visit and taking all of those meds to your provider next time you see them and saying, this, even though they have it all in the computer, there's nothing like that visual aid of having all of those drugs in a bag?
I strongly recommend it because I have found from experience that there is always a certain percentage of drug lists in even the provider's office, even in the pharmacy, that is not accurate or complete. So bringing that brown bag in is really important.
You can really see if there are any interactions, or maybe there's a drug the doctor doesn't know about that you went on, a supplement or something.
Yes, that's right.
So so to wrap it up, we've got the melatonin dipped in chocolate.
Yes.
Not the sugary chocolate, but the baker's chocolate. A banana, an orange. There's nothing like orange and chocolate together.
That's right.
So,
or a fruit salad with pineapple.
A fruit salad with pineapple and sprinkling that. I'm all about the chocolate. Sprinkling that chocolate on top will really help increase the sleep.
Yes.
So, excellent. It's so good to talk to you about these things that we really can't get this information anywhere else. If you want to hear the show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form. Before you do anything that we have said today, do check with your doctor first, always. That's it for me, Elizabeth Dragazzi. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for listening.